Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
The Old Testament reading for the 18th Sunday after Pentecost is from Jeremiah chapter 11. The Lord made it known to me, and I knew. Then you showed me their deeds, but I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not know it yet. It was against me that they devised schemes, saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living. Let his name be remembered no more. But, O Lord of hosts, who judges righteously, who tests the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from James, chapters 3 and 4. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says, he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell within us, but he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. The disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee. And Jesus did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days he will rise. But they did not understand the saying, and were afraid to ask him. And they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, what were you discussing on the way? But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, if anyone be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and put him in their midst. And taking him in his arms, he said to them, Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We are Christians. That is our identity. It is who we are, because God has made us his own. In our baptism, he called us by name. He marked us as one of his children, even though we don't deserve it. Even though we reject God's will and his plan for our lives, we sin against him, he continues to love unconditionally. And in that love, he sent his son, and Jesus has won for us forgiveness. Forgiveness for all of our sins on the cross. Every possible sin and mistake we could make, Jesus won forgiveness. And for the sake of Jesus, God forgives our sins against him. And he does so every single time. He gives us hope, and he gives us purpose in life. This is why we gather together in God's house every week. We confess our sins, we receive his forgiveness, and we dive into his word, his direction, his will, his purpose for our lives. Because we are Christians. It's who we are. And as God's people, we live in a tension, in a paradox, because we are in the world, but we are not to be of the world. And that's what James is talking about today. James says, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." God calls us as his holy children, and he sets us apart. And so we are called to live differently than the sinful world around us, because our identity rests in Jesus Christ and not in the things of this world. Now, obviously, we're not separate from the world. This was a big movement in the Middle Ages. Actually, it started even earlier. To get away from the world was the beginning of the monastery system. But Jesus doesn't call us to move to an island where only Christians live. He doesn't call us to sever all outside connections and never talk to anyone who isn't a Christian. No, obviously not. We're called to live in this tension. We live right here in the real world, and yet we're not of the world. Our identity doesn't come from the things of this life. And this tension's nothing new. This has been a part of God's plan for his people throughout all the centuries. Even the Israelites were called as God's people to live in the world, but to not be part of it. They were called to live differently than the sinful nations that surrounded them. So how does it work? What does God say about this paradox, this tension that we live with? Well, in our reading today, James is setting up a little compare and contrast about how we live in the world, but not of it. So we turn to God's word to us through James. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. James is using the classic paradigm of wisdom, that there are two types of wisdom, two totally different outlooks and approaches to life.
On the one hand, we have the worldly wisdom, how people approach life when they are simply of this world and not of Christ. On the other hand, we have the wisdom that comes down from above, godly wisdom, how Christians are called to approach life. And we can see here that James starts out by talking about the worldly wisdom, the worldly outlook on life. This worldly outlook is obviously a bad thing because it is described as not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. You can't get it put much more straightforward than that. Worldly wisdom is from the devil, period. And it is another one of the devil's tricks to pull and draw people away from true God, away from Christ and the life that's in him. So what are some of the characteristics of this worldly outlook on life? The first that James lists is bitter jealousy. Being jealous is a part of the worldly wisdom. Wishing you had what someone else has is one of the tricks the devil uses against us. Now, the obvious objects of jealousy are material possessions. You know, wishing we had somebody else's video game system, their phone, their house, their car, their boat, their whatever. Even wishing that we had somebody else's money or financial security. But we can be jealous about other things. We can be jealous of someone's health. Why do I have to be sick? Why can't I be healthy like them? We can be jealous of someone else's family or friends. Oh, I wish I were popular like them. Oh, boy, I wish my children turned out like theirs. They seem to have it all together. Jealousy comes in all sorts of forms and in just about every area of life. And it's one of the characteristics of worldly outlook on life. Another characteristic is selfish ambition. Not very hard to find in our me-first society. All what matters is how it affects me and what I want. If I want to do something, then I should have a right to do whatever I want. I don't care about government programs as long as it doesn't raise my taxes or impinge on my freedoms. Or, you know, anybody can live however they want as long as it doesn't affect me. Getting ahead, stepping on whoever we need to. That's how the world says you get ahead in life. And James says that bitter jealousy and selfish ambition are nothing to boast about. But bragging is the way of life and the wisdom of this world as well. I mean, if you show off what a good player you are to the coach, you're going to get more playing time in the game. If you boast about yourself and how you're a model employee, you're going to get that job, the security, especially in the next time the company has layoffs. If you brag about how much you help others or boast about how unselfish you are, well, then people will respect and admire you, right? I mean, really, some of this, it makes sense from a worldly point of view, but it is not how we are called to live. If bitter jealousy, selfish ambition are our ways of life, we're not supposed to boast about it, but recognize that we are being false to the truth. That these attitudes are earthly, unspiritual, demonic. So how shall we live? How are we called to live as God's children, as Christians? James continues with, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial, and sincere." Our outlook is first of all defined as pure. Pure because Christ first makes us pure by his sacrifice. It is the forgiveness of our sins that makes us pure. It is by God's grace that he calls us as Christians. The first and foremost thing that affects our entire outlook on life is God's grace. How he has even made me one of his children. And as his people, he's made us to be not of this world, but to live differently. We then, as a result of the purity, have an outlook on life that is peaceable and gentle. We are not to be jealous of all the things others have, but we are called to be at peace. We know that everything we have, our possession, our health, our money, they're all gifts that come from God. He's the one who's in charge. He loves us, and he provides our daily bread, just as he has taught us to pray for. And this good news allows us to have peace. And when we're at peace with God, we don't have to try to manhandle other people, try to bend them to our will. But rather, we can guide them gently toward the good news of peace with God. As Christians, we are also to be open to reason. We want to hear, and we want to actively listen to other people, even those we disagree with. We want to know where someone is coming from so that we might genuinely understand them better and have conversations with them that would build them up and lead them toward Christ or encourage their faith in him. The wisdom from above is full of mercy and good works. James echoes the words of Jesus, who set the top priority for his disciples as the high goal to be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. We have received his mercy, mercy upon mercy, John would say. And so we are to be generous and overflowing with the mercy already given to us, demonstrating it to others. Our first response is not to be a me first. It is to be a you first. To put the needs of others ahead of our own, even when it's not convenient for us. We're called to help others out, take care of others, even if that may cost us money. And finally, our outlook on life is impartial and sincere. Our intention is not to make ourselves look good. It's not about us. We want to help others. Because God has done so much for us, we can't help but put others first. Even if we don't make a name for ourselves, even if nobody ever finds out who we are or what we do, we just keep serving others and helping those around us. James tells us flat out today how God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So why does God call us to be in the world but not of the world? Why is it that we're called to live differently than non-Christians? Well, God tells us today, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. We are not of the world, because the worldly wisdom would lead us away from Christ, and it ultimately ends in death. God is also using a great analogy here about why he calls us to live in the Christian outlook on life. What we plant in life is what we harvest, which is a great time for this image because we are in the midst of potato harvest. If you plant potatoes in spring, you expect the harvest, potatoes in fall, right? If you plant corn in spring, you will be awfully surprised to have thorns and thistles and other things. You expect corn. And the same is true in life. God tells us how if we approach life with a Christian outlook, life actually is more enjoyable. Life is just better. We Christians, of course, are not immune to the troubles of life. However, even when those troubles come, we're much better equipped to handle it with godly wisdom instead of with worldly wisdom. God calls us to live as Christians for our own good. So we live in this tension. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We live in the very real world, and yet God calls us to live in it a very different way. He calls us to live in it as who he's called us to be, Christians, his baptized children. Amen. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, establish you in the way of the wisdom of God, so that you may sow peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.